Roger Day.
And it gives me great pleasure for the very first time to say a good Tuesday morning to you. Hit music for the Northwest. We are Piccadilly Radio.
Piccadilly Radio. So, Roger Day, Piccadilly Radio's first ever DJ.
Do you still make tea?
I still do. It's got better over 40 years.
Glad to hear it. It was crap in those
rubbish.
Days.
It was rubbish. Roger, we're 40 years on from that day when you wowed in, unfortunately.
Instant start turntables, eh?
Good Vibrations, the first ever record played on the radio station. What was your memory of that time? And setting the station up and being the first voice on it?
Total excitement and wonderment. I mean, because Pete Reeves actually phoned me up and said, so what are you doing? I said, I've waited around for commercial radio and I don't think it's what I expected it to be. He said, look, there's a guy setting up in Manchester, Philip Birch. I thought, well, I know that name from Radio London. He's, I think you're the sort of bloke he's looking for. Came up, met Colin Walters. And I'd just been voted number one disc jockey in some record mirror poll or something. I hadn't been on the air for 3 years. So he was quite impressed with that. And so I think he hired me on the back of it and hired me on the spot. And I'd never been really to Manchester before. Well, a couple of times. I compared a couple of tours around here. And I thought, well, we'll give it a go. If it doesn't work out, I'll still go to Canada. And when he described what he wanted to do, I thought, well, if anyone's going to do a success of it, it'll be this guy. And so started off, and I have to say, they were some of the best years of my life. You know, if anyone asks what are your favourite days, Radio Caroline, obviously, Piccadilly comes a close second. It was just stunning. I just loved it. I love the Manchester people. I still do. I regard it as coming home because they were just, they're special. They're different.
I think that's what it is about the audience as well. When they switch the radio on and they heard Piccadilly Radio, it was like coming home, wasn't it?
Yeah. They'd never heard anything like it, because basically we sort of played on the fact is those devils in London, what the hell do they know about Manchester? And that's true, you know, because everything came from London. And there we were, playing local bands, mentioning local events, and playing records that weren't hits. You know, we didn't rely on that. And this was the days for focus groups and all that, so we just went on and played what we wanted. And had fun, and this is what radio is all about. And the people responded, you know. The response was to me a bit similar to what we used to get on the Pirates. It was, you know, stuff those southern buggers. You know, we're gonna really show them what it's all about.
You and the radio station itself, you were stars. You could fill Piccadilly Gardens. One DJ.
I know.
And there was a sea of people. It was like Live Aid almost, wasn't it?
I know, you only had to mention something on it. I'd say, like the Pirates, and people would be there. I mean, I was stunned, you know. And I'd go in shops and they'd say, you're that Roger Day from the Piccadilly, aren't you? And I thought, gee whiz, this is fantastic, you know. They don't know who I am, you know. But they said, you know, we recognise your voice.
The stardom almost that you achieved.
Yeah. Day on the Dilly. Which I used to do, one of my silly catchphrases and all that. Nice here, do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember, people still, thanks to the internet, people from this area still sort of, and that's the great thing about it, they say, oh, we still remember you from the Dilly. I mean, how many years ago is that? And they remember it. Doesn't that say it all?
You were pioneers in those days. It was all new stuff, wasn't it? Did you think it was going to work and be as successful as it was?
Well, of course, we started off on a three-day week. We didn't even know the studios were behind schedule because of that, you know, the miners' strike and everything. So everything was being power cuts and everything. So 3 days a week. No, it was a big risk because advertisers were slow to come on board. And I think the first few months were very dodgy. But it soon, once they realised that we had power, the advertisers came up with, you know, we had some adverts on that got great response, and word gets around. Good news travels quick. So does bad, but certainly good news does. And so, as a result, we got a lot of people coming on board.
Well, Roger, 40 years on, you've had plenty of time to reflect on those years. What would be your fondest memory?
Oh, you've got an hour to spare. I just so many. I mean, the marathon I did, for 74 hours.
You broadcast for 74 hours?
Yes.
Breaking world records, I
know,
remember.
I know, and it was fabulous, you know, everyone coming in, you know, to do things for me, make me tea and everything. It was, you just realise how, but well, Graham Nash is my favourite memory, because when I used to do the late night show, and Pat Broom was taking the calls, and she came in and she said, I played a Hollis track, which was one made after Graham Nash had left. And you know what it's like doing a late night show, you get a lot of drunks phoning up. And she came in and said, oh, there's a Graham Nash on the phone, says, why don't you play a Hollis track, you know, that I'm on? And I said, tell him to buzz off, words to that effect, I'm the Archbishop of Canterbury. And she went back and told him those very words. I said, no, he's very insistent, it's Graham Nash, he wants to talk to you. I said, tell him I'll phone him back after the show. So he left the number, and it was a Midland hotel. I thought, well, if he's a drunk, he's a rich drunk, so I better phone him back. And I phoned him back, and there was the unmistakable Graham Nash, a voice like no other. And he said, I love the programme, he said, but why don't you play Holly's track I'm on? I said, I'll do it if you come in. And so he came in. Not only did he come in, he said, I've just written this song on the plane over, do you want to hear it? In those days, we used to have the piano in the big studio, we used to have live music. Howard Jones, by the way, used to play that, and remembers it well, for the Royal College of Music. And you could hear him walking across, I've got a tape of it, he walked across the studio and played just the song Before I Go, which is on Let's Cross with Stills and Nash album. First play anywhere in the radio, in the world. We were a social club that actually happened to broadcast, and that matters. That came across, that doesn't matter whether you're a newsman, sportsman, or whatever, we were all gunning for the same thing. We were going to make this radio station the best ever commercial radio station.